Today's scripture of the day comes from Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
You know, we live in a very noisy world, don't we? It is so noisy out there. Terribly noisy, busy, and loud. Think about it. We've got all kinds of special communication devices to help us plug in to all that noise. We have our cell phones, of course. We even don't want to miss a call, so we wear a cell phone in our ear so we don't miss those calls as we're driving down the road to take that noise with us wherever we go. We've got our iPods, Bluetooths, smartphones, and probably a bunch of other things I don't even know about. Not to mention the radio, the internet, and television. Did you know that some cable and satellite stations have over 900 channels of all this noise? It's all noisy, loud, and very busy world. But noisy and busy doesn't necessarily mean that it's all important. Oh, by the way, did you know there's only 26 shopping days left till Christmas? Just a little friendly reminder from your pastor. This time of year, of course, we're all thinking about that special gift for that special someone. But when you think about it, and all that's going on in our lives, and all that's going on in the world, shopping for a Christmas gift really isn't that big a deal. Sorry about that. And yet, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to get bombarded with commercials and ads and messages and text messages about what we should buy. And with all that noise going on around us, we might miss something that's really important this Advent Christmas season. But what? What is it that we might miss hearing because of all that noise? Right now, whether we know God or not, there's an important conversation going on. Words are being spoken, and gifts are ready to be given. And yet, because of all the noise, and all the activity, and all the busyness, we just might miss that important message. Some of the most important things that God wants to speak to us and do in our lives and in the world is happening very quietly right now as we speak. The scripture text for today should be fairly familiar to most of us, if not all of us. The story begins with some very important news coming out of Rome. The news that everyone is going to have to be counted in a census. Luke writes, "In those days, Caesar Augustus." Now let me stop right there and just say a word about that, those opening words. This is really big news in that part of the world at this time in history. I don't know what's going on with this thing either. Sorry about that. But everybody knew that when the emperor spoke, probably should switch over to the handheld. Okay, let's do that. I think I can preach with one hand. Can we switch over? Okay, let's do that. Everybody would have known what the emperor was saying, and everybody would pay attention because this was the big kahuna.
This was the ruler of the known world at that time. When news came out of Rome, it would be like news coming out of Washington, D.C., or Paris, or London, or New York, or Moscow today. And the really big news here is that Caesar Augustus has issued a decree that a census needs to be taken. And you're probably thinking, well, what's the big deal with that? We have a census taken every 10 years, right? We just had one in 2010. But when they took a census in the first century, it disrupted people's lives tremendously. Citizens of the Roman Empire from Spain to Palestine would have to be counted. And the way they did this was not like they do it now, where we're counted based on where we reside at that moment, but where they grew up, where they were from, where their families of origin were from. Some people, therefore, would have to move or go hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles to go back to their birthplace, to go back to their homes of origin. And they had to stay there until the Romans counted everybody. This, of course, was to raise taxes for the Caesar. But there's some other big news going on here as well. Luke continues on when he writes, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the town of Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. You see, Joseph was being a good citizen of the Roman Empire. He goes, as everyone was to go, and this trip would involve his wife, his very pregnant wife. These are not famous people. These are not people that are noteworthy. Just an ordinary Jewish couple. They're going to a very small, obscure town that would only have been known about to those people that lived in Israel. Bethlehem was a very small town, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. But yet it's with Joseph and Mary that God's big news is going to be shared. The most important event in human history, the single event that would change the world forever, begins at this point in time, some 2,000 years ago, with this very unknown couple in this very obscure village in Israel. Isn't it interesting that God uses an unlikely character like Caesar Augustus to accomplish his will, to accomplish his plan, to accomplish his purposes? Because of his decision to do a census, Joseph and Mary are relocated to the town, the very town that was prophesied in the Old Testament hundreds of years before Jesus came on the scene, that the Messiah, the long-awaited one of Israel, would be born in the town of Bethlehem. With all the big news coming out of the empire, the biggest news of all was happening very quietly, behind the scenes. God is about to give the world the greatest Christmas gift of all that is beyond our wildest imagination. God is at work quietly, offering God's self in a sacrificial way to a world that really is in rebellion against God. God is stripping himself of his glory, stepping down into this broken, messed up world to take on human form so that we can be in relationship with God forever. And it goes on almost totally unnoticed. The way God is at work in this passage in Luke's gospel is found in today's featured hymn. By the way, for the next 2 Sundays, including this one, we're going to be looking at Christmas carols, some of our most beloved Christmas carols, which don't often get sung in the church prior to Christmas. And so we're going to be taking a look today at O Little Town of Bethlehem, because in each of these carols are some hidden messages, some obscure messages that we need to hear today that we probably never thought of as we sing these songs almost from memory every Christmas. Today we're looking at O Little Town of Bethlehem. This carol was written by a gentleman by the name of Phillips Brooks, who was a minister, and he wrote it after having a spiritual experience in 1865. You know what happened in 1865? That was about the end of the Civil War, okay? Brooks was a fairly famous guy already in at that time. He was the pastor of a dynamic and influential church in Boston, Massachusetts. But being a spiritual leader through the terrible years of the Civil War had taken its toll on Pastor Brooks. Every Sunday, week after week, year after year, he would see people coming to church dressed in black or with black armbands on. Why? Because these were women who had lost husbands in the Civil War, children who had lost fathers, brothers who had lost brothers and sisters who had lost brothers in the war. Week after week after week, he saw crowds growing larger and larger. They came to him, to the church, seeking comfort, seeking answers, seeking inspiration, and a word from God to help them make sense of this national tragedy that had taken so many millions of lives over the course of 5 years, 4 years. They came seeking comfort. And even after the war was over, it didn't get much better for Phillips Brooks. For after the war ended, President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, as if the country needed more grief. And Pastor Brooks was the pastor who was selected to do the eulogy and the funeral service for President Abraham Lincoln. Here is a man who is beaten down, spiritually depleted, and he has to find a word from God to speak to the entire nation as they grieve the loss of this great leader. But somehow, Phillips Brooks finds those words.